It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Independence of me, Ernest Hancock from Phoenix, Arizona. Hey! You know, we have an interesting guest on. I want to talk about this subject, and I'm hoping that Janae Girard is going to be able to help me with something I want to understand. Now, she's a cancer survivor that has, an influence on a lot of people because of her experiences. Now, she has a website that's called Beyond the Booby Trap. .com, B-O-O-B-I-E trap.com, beyondthebooby-trap.com. Now, she has over 17,000 breast cancer followers online, but the thing that I'm interested in is she acts as a plaintiff for the ACLU fighting against the U.S. Patent Office and Myriad Laboratory, who owns a patent on breast cancer. Now, my thing is that they started having genes being patented. I mean, here's organic material, life is being patented by private companies. And I want to understand that right there. And then, of course, the ramifications of it. And Janae's going to help me with that. Janae, I got you there?
Yes, you sure do.
Explain this to me. How is it that, well, one, let's go ahead and go right back to the lawsuit. Why would you be a plaintiff for a lawsuit, and why would you be suing the patent office? What did they do?
Well, essentially, I was interviewed by the ACLU. I actually spoke up and wanted to be a part of this case. My part of the case is that I was what's called BRCA2 positive. That is one of the genes that is patented. And BRCA2 means that I'm at a higher risk for reoccurrence of breast cancer as well as ovarian cancer. Well, since I, got cancer in my 30s, I wanted a second opinion when I got my test because this was going to play a role whether or not, I wanted to get the ovaries out, whether I want to have kids or not. It was a really big deal for me. So I went to my doctor and I said, I'd really like to get a second opinion. This is a really big decision. My doctor said, oh, I'm sorry, but there's no other company that can do the test. And at that point I said, well, why not? And they said, oh, well, they're the only ones that do it. Well, when I started working with the ACLU, I got more into it and found out that Myriad actually patented the BRCA1 and BRCA2 breast cancer genes. And so they own the genes. It's not the process in which they isolated them. It's the actual genes themselves.
Okay, time out. You got to explain this to me. We're not even talking about the test itself. We're talking about they own the actual gene that they're testing for?
They have a patent on the BRCA1 and BRCA2. That's correct.
Okay, now wait a minute. Okay, BRCA1, BRCA2 is a gene that's on in your body, right? I mean, it's part of the DNA?
That's correct.
Okay, so they – see, I want to make sure we walk through this because, I mean, dang, I wasn't even sure that I read this right, all right? So we have a private company files a patent with the United States Patent Office saying that we own part of everybody – as part a gene on the DNA ladder of whoever, and they go, that's ours now.
Exactly.
How did that even come about? I mean, they went and filed it. Wasn't there a lawsuit saying, no, you can't, and yes, we can? The Supreme Court says, yes, they can?
Well, that's what we're trying to get to. We're trying to set the precedence. If we, in fact, we won the state level court, now we're moving to the patent court. if we win there, then we go to the Supreme Court and they decide whether or not they want to hear it or not, if it has enough merit. Well, this is a big deal because there are about 20 other patents in the works right now that are genetic, that are in the works to be patented, which would be horrible for healthcare.
Well, we already have this in life in, I think like Monsanto or something, you know, seeds, and they genetically alter. I mean, I guess if you alter it enough, you can call it your own Frankenstein seed or something, you know, but that's a whole nother issue. But an existing gene in somebody's body that was put there by mom and dad and God or whatever, and you have that sitting there, somebody was able to file that with the patent office and get a gene on part of your a patent on part of your body. That's what you're saying.
Correct. Yeah, that's correct. So and how does this impact, you know, the whole, I mean, this impacts women everywhere, including men. You know, I have people that write to me that are waiting in a queue in a small town because their insurance doesn't cover the myriad test. And so they have to wait for grant money or to try to piece together money to be able to afford the test. Well, you and I know you cannot wait when you get a cancer diagnosis. I mean, you can't afford to wait to sit and make decisions. That can really impact your health negatively.
Well, I know it's expensive because they're the only one being able to do it. You know,
it's between $3,400 and $3,600.
Wow. Now, is that, wow, I mean, no one else can test for this, even though they may say we have a patent on this gene that stops somebody else from doing a test on it?
Well, let me tell you, there are many, many facilities out there that can run the test. It's not that the technology isn't available. I mean, there are a number of universities and other genetic laboratories that have the capability. However, they cannot run the test because that would be patent infringement.
Okay, how is that a patent infringement for finding a gene in your body? Because they say, no, you know, Janae's genes are ours, we patented her.
Well, it's the way that they wrote the patent. Of course, it's legalese, but the way that they wrote the patent, it would be patent infringement if another company were to run the test and profit from it also. So it's, you know,
this is messed. Yeah, this is messed up. This is messed up. This has ramifications for, I mean, you know, this is like, you know, bad science fiction movies.
Yeah, it really is.
You know, in fact, there was I saw in here you wrote a screenplay or something regarding that. Tell me about that.
Yeah, actually, Robin Hunt and myself, we collaborated on a screenplay called Imperfect. And the screenplay is at imperfectscript.com. And basically, it revolves around the idea that a community starts to genetically alter embryos to create a Aryan or, you know, style or perfect race. And when children are not, they don't fit into that qualifications, they're discarded, which creates a tribe of quote-unquote imperfect children in a forest that develops a different community of gifted kids. And so it's about the social ramifications of that.
Well, you know, I mean, it's easy to see, and you'd think, oh, that's so science fact. I mean, you know, this is what's, I definitely want to understand this more and where we are at in the lawsuit when we come back. You guys stay right there, man. Scary, scary, scary stuff. I want to understand who owns my genes. You know, I mean, not what I'm wearing, what's in my body.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Let me tell you what my mission is. I just want to know the truth. And let me tell you what the truth is as of today. The U.S. Patent and Trademark Office has granted thousands of patents on human genes. In fact, about 20% of our genes are patented. A gene patent holder has the right to prevent anyone from studying, testing, or even looking at a gene. As a result, scientific research and genetic testing has been delayed, limited, or even shut down due to concerns about gene patents. This is an article from the ACLU talking about this very lawsuit. It was filed in May of 2009. Now, this is, this is big, giant, evil, you know, Doctor Strange, whatever stuff going on. Because I can see the ramifications of this going out. You can't even study, test. Now, what happened? We had the United States taxpayers funded the big giant genome project. We're going to map it all out. And then they got it out there on the table. And then we had these private companies going, and that part's ours, and that part's ours, and that part's ours. And I'm going, wow, this is like evil. You know, so how else would you define it? Janae?
Yeah, I totally agree. That's why I decided to be a part of this, because it was just unfathomable to me.
Well, I mean, I'm wondering who started. I was of the opinion that you couldn't patent life. And I remember when this started coming up, they were granting the first patents. I think it was on seeds or something, the genes, the sequencing of different plants. And I'm like, yeah, that's not a good idea. But of course, you know, good ideas, bad ideas, whatever. Government's always supporting bad ideas. So here we have the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office. I would imagine that China probably they don't even know what a patent is. So I doubt, you know, around the world a lot of this is going on. Is it just the U.S.?
As far as I know, I mean, we're the biggest biggest problem as far as this is concerned. You know, one of my other really big problems with this is that Myriad Laboratory, if you can imagine them being the only one that can test for the BRCA1 and BRCA2 breast cancer gene, that means that they have banked all of their results in the United States and have access to all of that data. So what, in fact, does that do to retard research in our country as well as far as moving forward for a cure? I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous.
There's way more ramifications than that. I mean, I understand your focus because, you know, being a cancer survivor, I would hope that you're in remission, you're cured, you're mm-hmm. doing well. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing is that, you know, that's the first thing. But then you could see how you would have an interest in this. I mean, you're going, oh, when you came to the realization, they're saying, oh, no. No one else can do the test. Yeah, they can, but they're not allowed. They're not going to. They're going to infringe on. Here's Myriad going, you know, we have the gene patent on this. You can't study it. You can't test for it. You can't do anything because we hold it. How did they get that? What was the mechanism in the lawsuit? It has to define how they even knew that was the gene. Was it part of this genome project?
You know, I'm not really sure the exact...
Well, if it was, I paid for it, you know? So I'm like, you know, what the heck?
I know. I don't know the exact documentation of how it came about and how they filed it. I know that a lot of it's in how you present it. I know that it has a lot to do with the fact that they felt like since they isolated it, that they could, you know, in fact, patent it. And so I don't know if that led to confusion or what. But, you know, to be honest with you, I've been an entrepreneur all of my life. If this was strictly about the process of patenting something or developing a process, I would be totally for it. But that's not what this is about. This is actually patenting something that exists in nature. And fundamentally, that's unconstitutional.
You know, we had, you might want to write this down. His name is Steve Kinsella, K-I-N-S-E-L-L-A. Kinsella, we had a show. He did a nice article on LouRockwell.com, and it was all about the concept of intellectual property. And he's going, you know, that even making this argument that you can patent any idea, you know, anything that's in your head, an invention, a technology, a widget, a wadget, you know, whatever. It was supposed to be kind of the idea the founders, they go, well, we'll protect, you know, to promote the science and arts. We'll kind of have this protection as an incentive for them to invent or whatever. But really, as time has gone on, it's gotten so bad that it's done the exact opposite. And this is a perfect example of it. But it's not just, because it just doesn't apply to the genes, but this is, I love when they, you know, I don't say love. I mean, I really embrace when they go way overboard like this, because it makes a very good example of how bad this is. You want to shut down innovation. You want to shut down progression. You want to shut down innovation. You want to shut down invention. You want to shut down. You say, no, mine, you can't do it. I have patented an idea. But that's not what this is about. That's not what this is about. This is about patenting a piece of everybody. I mean, you know, if you patented someone's, I don't know, you did something to somebody or I don't even know how you would do anything with life, but to say that they have this gene on something, it's like they own the entire planet. You know, they own a part of everybody in this country, certainly women. So I'm just going, this is, what is their moral argument? I mean, how are they presenting themselves public relations wise? They have to say, yeah, but we did it and we can because what?
Well, they're actually kind of taking a back seat. It's been very quiet. I think they know that they're in a little bit of trouble here. You know, to be honest with you, this is not an easy, cut and dry type of argument to get people behind you. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's not like a 2 second conversation where you say, this is this, this is this. I mean, you really have to sit down with people and really explain. And I'm so proud of many of the people in America that have read this case, that saw us on 60 Minutes, that, you know, really are listening to your show and are writing into the ACLU. They're writing into their congresspeople. I mean, they're making a difference. And I can tell you, we know that people are making a difference because I believe it was on October 29th, just a few days ago, the U.S. government took a stance in the New York Times. And in the New York Times, they basically said that, well, we basically are leaning towards the fact that we feel that gene patenting is wrong. Well,
so
that's really because of everybody taking a stance and, you know, reaching out to politicians, the biotech companies getting involved and really putting pressure on them to say one way or another how they feel.
I don't care how they feel. I want to care. You know, what's the proper role of government? I mean, it's defense of life, liberty, property, and guess what? It's inside my skin. It's freaking mine. Mine. You know? And I just, for them to allow a company to patent part of inside my flesh is just, man, if you want to put, you know, horns and a pointy tail on something, that's how you do it, man, right there. I'm going, you know, the government bad, you know, fang blood dripping kind of yuck. So I'm just, this, what stage are we in this lawsuit? I mean, how long are we looking at before this gets adjudicated?
Boy, that's a good question. You know, we started in 09, I think it was April of 09, and takes a lot longer than I would have thought, being a plaintiff. But as far as I know, in the next, I think by December 1st, everybody's required, both parties, the ACLU and Myriad Labs, are required to have their brief into the patent court. And I believe they're still picking the panel of judges, because there's a panel of a few judges on the patent court. And so in the next few months, they're going to be going ahead with that. So
you need to stay in touch with me. This is dang. I mean, you know, I can see where this is going. This is, you know, if they allow, if the United States federal freaking government says a company can own part of a human being inside their flesh, you know, they already say they claim us anyway. I'm going, you know, I just need to know that and act accordingly. We'll be right back.
There are those that just want to be left alone. And those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Turn on the tube. What do I see? A whole lot of people crying. Don't blame me. But point the crooked little fingers at everybody else. Spend all the time feeling sorry for themselves. Victim of this. Victim of that. Your mama's too thin and your daddy's too fat. Get over it. Get over it.
Yeah, get over it. Here on the Clare Independence with me, Ernest Hancock from Phoenix, Arizona. My special guest on the radio with me, Janae Girard. She has a website, BeyondTheBoobyTrap.com. B-O-O-B-I-E. BeyondTheBoobyTrap.com. She's trying to take a kind of light look at this, being a breast cancer survivor and so on. But, you know, she found out that she's getting tested. She tests for a gene that makes her more susceptible to cancer, ovarian cancer. She's in her 30s. You know, do I want to have children now? Do I want to get rid of my ovaries? Do I want to, I mean, you know, we, decisions. We need to make decisions. We need information to make decisions. And how do you get this information? You do tests on your body and parts of your body, parts of your DNA. Oh, heck, you know, genes of your DNA. I mean, how small can we get down to? But guess what? It's mine. Mine. And we have a private company that said, you know what? We want to thanks for all that, that genome project thing. We want to say thank you for all that taxpayer funded. We mapped out everything. We want to say thank you for us to go down and look. Ooh, look where we make some money here. We'll say, you know what? People are going to want to know if they got this gene because bad. Evil. Well, you know what? We own it. It's ours. You can't study it. You can't test it. You can't do anything for it. It's ours. Ours. Oh, by the way, you want to test for that? Yeah, that's $3,600. Come, you know, give us a check. I mean, how far off am I there, Janae?
That's true, and it's my understanding, if you'd like to do the math on how valuable this is to Myriad Labs, it's my understanding that they run a minimum of 100 tests per day to the tune of $3,600 just on the breast cancer BRCA1 and BRCA2 gene testing.
Wow. 3,600 times 100 is what? A lot. You know, is that, I mean, is that 36,000 or 360,000? Let me do my math here. You know, I mean, I'm just going, this is so amazing to me. I'm wondering, were you the first one, part of the, are you the only plaintiff in this?
No, there are actually, there's six patients, which are all, breast cancer survivors, that have different roles in the case. For example, one, her insurance was not accepted by Myriad. They just gave her an exclusion, and so she couldn't get the test because they wouldn't accept her insurance and she couldn't afford it. There are other people that have different roles in the case. One is of Asian descent, and she has a variant that they can't give her a correct answer on yes or no and couldn't get a retest. So there are also quite a few biotech and science companies, universities, on board and with the case as actual plaintiffs. And then there are also some big players that are considered friends of the court, like the American Medical Association. You know, there are a number of big organizations that jumped on board when they saw the brevity of, you know, how this could impact everyone. And so...
Well, you know, you're looking at, you know, okay, I do the math. It's $360,000 a day. So in a year, I'm multiplying $131 million, okay? So, but you just, that's just one itty bitty gene on the DNA. And how many genes are there in DNA? Like a gazillion? So I'm going, you know, this is enormous. Pharma make us all kinds of money just by patenting us. I, you know, so I can imagine the other side. I mean, they got a long list of lawyers coming after y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Well, tell me about the court cases. Has there been, you know, 15 gazillion motions too? Are we having, you know, are they starting to do any kind of a PR thing, or they just figured it's better off just to be quiet?
I haven't heard anything from Myriad. However, what I was witnessing just as a person, you know, watching TV, I noticed that they upped their commercials on the actual test itself, which is the Myriad BRCA1 and BRCA2 test. They started running more and more commercials. So, I thought that was interesting, although their stock started to drop significantly. you know, I think that, I think it is scaring them somewhat, the case, but they have pretty much remained fairly quiet about the whole case.
So on the ACLU side, they got skills. I mean, you have the 32-year-old kid out of law school over there. Yeah, we're going to go get him. Or, I mean, do you have some big boys coming on your side? Well, tell me what's your side?
They're they're fantastic. You know, Chris Hansen, Sandra Park, these people have done such an amazing job to bring awareness to this. These guys are just, I mean, busting it. They're busting a move to get this, looked at. They've done, just worked tirelessly, and they've kept us up to date on everything. And I'm just, I couldn't have asked for a better team of lawyers with this case. They've done an amazing job.
Well, tell me about the 60 Minutes piece.
Okay. 60 Minutes was Easter of this year. It was myself and a lady by the last name is Suriani, and she was on with me. We were interviewed by Morley Safer. That's online under Gene Patents under 60 Minutes, so you can pull it up. But it was very interesting. They were bringing to light the fact that, you know, in my case, I couldn't get a second opinion and had to make serious medical, decisions based on one, laboratory giving me the answer. And Suriani's problem was that she couldn't afford the test and that Myriad didn't accept her insurance and didn't really give her an answer as to why. And, you can imagine a company with this kind of power, they can pick and choose which insurance they're going to take.
Let me go ahead and read from the six. I found it up here. You just go ACLU Myriad, Myriad 60 Minutes, and it pops up. Should firms be able to own your genes? CBS. We may have inherited some of our finest qualities from parents and grandparents, but like anything else, there is a downside. Part of that inheritance could be a disposition of a variety of deadly diseases. But the good news is that since the mapping of the human genome, science has made some giant leaps in detecting and treating inherited conditions. By detecting those genes, for example, the genes that predispose women to breast cancer, doctors can offer preemptive treatment. It sounds simple enough, but there's a catch. A woman may have that gene, but strange as it seems, it's really the property of a biotech company that has taken out a patent on it. So far, nearly 10,000 human genes have been patented, all of them now in question based on a court ruling this past week. What was that court ruling?
Well, the court ruling ruled in our favor. So, in the district court, we actually won the first iteration. That's why we've gotten bumped up to the patent court. And then the patent court, if we win there, then it decides whether or not we're going to go to the Supreme Court. It's just a long, drawn-out process. It's incredible. However, what gives me hope and keeps me fighting and sticking to this and really trying to move forward and make people aware of this is that I really want to win this case. And it's about everybody. I mean, it's about being unconstitutional. And it's just unfathomable that we've let this happen in our country, and we need to stop it now.
You know, to the proper role of government, defend life, liberty, property, or at least let me defend it. Can I defend my life? I just wondering. And the thing is that if they're not on the side of, I can't believe they even allowed this and to take this long to come to something that should be prima facie that you just have, I own me. And the fact that I don't know if their argument is, well, everybody has this gene, so we can own that. I mean, then it's an everybody thing. It's just strange. And I'm wondering, the administration, you said in New York Times, they came out, the government says, kind of in support of you. What department was that? Who was that was writing the article?
Well, I'm not sure exactly what department it was.
Wall Street Journal or whatever it was. What was the publication?
It was New York Times.
Okay, New York Times.
And I believe it was on the 29th. And I'm not sure exactly which part of the government exactly came out and made a statement. It's my understanding when we initiated this lawsuit and we went after the patent office, they basically wrote in and said, you can't sue us, we're the U.S. government. So, that part of the actual case was kind of moot in that, it's just a written reply that was pretty general but pretty clear. So in reality, this is really about Myriad and what we can do to stop this and make it a Supreme Court. Hopefully it'll go to the Supreme Court. And we'll be able to, you know, make changes there and, stop this from happening.
When we come back, I want to talk about the role of the media in this and what side that they're taking in the PR battle and how you're being used to go out and advocate for your position, which is cool. I mean, somebody's got to do it. And I'm wondering, you know, what sides are involved here and what role the media plays. I know what role I'm playing. We'll be right back.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, go to Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com, and you'll see where we're landing starting November 15th on freedomsphoenix.com. Got all information up there. Talk about it in the next hour. You know, the one thing that I'm looking at here in the decision by the judge is he references 35 U.S.C. Section 101, blah, 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 and it's inventions patentable, and it's patent law's law in here, and it says, whoever invents or discovers any new and useful process, machine, manufacture, or composition of matter, or any new and useful improvement thereof may obtain a patent, therefore, subject to the conditions and requirements of this title. Well, the only one I would think that would even kind of qualify would be composition of matter. I mean, but that's not composition of life. I'm wondering, I guess he's saying that doesn't, you know, life doesn't qualify, you know? So is there somewhere in the patent rules that they say you can't patent life, or it just doesn't say you can?
Well, it's my understanding that that's the fundamental basis for our case, is that you are fundamentally not able to patent something that exists in nature. And that's really the main basis for the whole suit. And so...
Oh, I get it. Okay, so it's like you can't. How can you patent something that's already been there for millennia? I mean, you know.
Exactly.
Okay,
exactly.
I get it. Well, I mean, but you can see from our, you know, anarchistic libertarian perspective, there's a whole thing about even just its intellectual property. You can patent anything. I mean, you know, it's an idea. It's like you would say it's born, you know, the DNA is part of your body. Well, an idea is, you know, kind of belongs to everybody. It's not like you're taking it. It's just an idea that's out. It's not like you're taking something from me. I get to keep my idea. I get to use what I, you know, invented. I get to use what I want. You copy a book. You're not stealing mine. I mean, you go. So that's kind of the concept here. And Stephen Kinsella, man, go ahead and take a look at that. It's an interesting argument. But this is so totally in a different area. But what it does do is it will bring up the whole concept of patent law, because this is a natural effect of having companies that can file pieces of paper with a government agency, and they say what they want it to say and what they do, and they got the big money, and we're pharma. So now they come under question, and I'm like, cool, about time. Let's go get them. Now, who has rallied to your side? How big, I mean, after the 60 Minutes interview and segment, did you get a lot of attention? Were people on your side? Was this new, or did it kind of come and then go away? Are they rising up against the man? What's going on?
You know, well, obviously the breast cancer community is up in arms. And as I said before, you know, one of the problems with this particular idea of patent, you know, genetically or patents, you know, is the fact that it's difficult to explain. It's not like a 20-second conversation. And so not only do you have to explain, you know, what it is, you have to, you know, have to explain the ramifications of how it's going to impact a person. And so it's a little bit difficult. It's not something that's very easy to explain to people. But yeah, we have had a lot of people, in especially medical organizations and facilities, behind us. They want to open it up and for more people to be able to get tested. It's thought, they've done some math on this, and they feel like if the test becomes demonopolized, which it is right now, it's a total monopoly with Myriad, then the price would drop from $3,600 to about $150.
You know, so, I mean, that's a ramification of, I don't know how you what else to call it other than just freedom, but I mean, it's...
Economies of scale, yeah.
Well, yeah, that's just a side effect of freedom. I just, whenever you start having government granting monopolies, monopoly on my DNA. I mean, wow. But that transcends, that's what this show is all about. I try, freedom's the answer. What's the question? Well, you know, freedom's the answer, and the question is, can we own part of you? No, that's not very free. I guess I'm owned by somebody. I mean, you know, then they talk about the ramification. Well, the tests are cheaper. We get to have more innovation. Well, that's kind of the result of it. But freedom still is always the answer. And to think that somebody can enslave me at the DNA level is amazing to me. And I'm just, think about it. It's two centuries down, and they find that, okay, we got a patent on a certain gene. They think of us as livestock already. So you look at certain people that have certain attributes in their DNA that may be they're smarter or stronger or more beautiful or more something, and whatever serves the king, and they'll say, you know, these guys, they're better warriors. They go, well, these guys belong to us. You know, it's like the old cultures, maybe the Japanese samurai. Oh, yeah, he's got fast reflexes and good samurai sword. Okay, he belongs to the king. You know, these guys are, there's always some trait that would make you susceptible to being an asset to the man. And if they could do it at the DNA level and claim some kind of ownership of it, even at birth, they'll go, tested you, thank you, you belong to us now. And I'm going, and to think that that's not possible, I'm thinking it's like likely. So I'm going, this has to be nipped in the bud right now, because I can see where this goes. If you have ownership of a trait or a property or something that's part of an individual, well, then you're not individually free anymore. This has much greater ramifications, and I think you're already starting to think about it because you're writing screenplays about it.
Oh, yeah, sure. I mean, ramifications, this is my life. This is life or death for me. It's a big, it's a big deal. I mean, it's like, someone playing with my genes or playing with my life, I have to make decisions based on what I call protecting the herd, the rest of me. And so, if that means, removing body parts, et cetera, that's a big deal. And so somebody, owning my genes, makes me have to depend on one laboratory. And by the way, laboratories are not infallible, okay? These are humans that are running tests, so
especially monopolies—they're infallible. They're fallible as heck, you know.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's like fallible is human error exists. Human error exists. So, making decisions like this—can you imagine having one laboratory where you have to depend on them to decide
whether you're going to have your ovaries taken out, whether you have your other breast removed?
Yeah.
Go, I want a second opinion. They push the button, go, yep, there's your second opinion. It's kind of like computer voting. So I'm going, all right, so how did the ACLU get involved in this? I mean, how did you become the plaintiff in this? How did it get on their radar screen?
I've been outspoken most of my life. I've been an entrepreneur most of my life, and so this isn't a far cry for me to speak out against something I don't believe in. I was referred to them by another plaintiff that knew me, and knew that I was BRCA2, and BRCA2 is one of those genes. And so the ACLU contacted me to find out what my stance was, and what, that I did have a problem with it. And so they basically screened me to see if I would be a good fit for the lawsuit. It's my understanding that, the ACLU picked up this case because of they have a women's rights project. And when the problem started coming up with the fact that there was only one place to get this and this test run, women started to kind of question, hey, well, why? And why is it so expensive? And why is my insurance not being covered? And that was brought to the attention of the women's rights project within the ACLU.
So they were more concerned about they weren't covering the test for these women, and it was a test that was monopolized by this one company.
Well, I believe that they know the huge widespread implications of this. This is obviously
they better
a
now.
Deal. Yeah, But, you know, where do you start with something like this? And I think this was a really good place to start. And really because one out of seven women gets diagnosed with breast cancer, this impacts everybody in our country. And so they had to predicate the case on some angle and some way that made sense. And I think they did a really good job of picking the right cause.
Wow. I hope that they're not deterred in any way from really going after this. And a lot of times, if you don't ask the right questions, a decision in your favor for the wrong thing doesn't do you any good. I mean, you know, so I mean, is it clear that they're looking for a ruling? And well, certainly it looks like you got one at a lower level saying you can't patent life. Well, of course, you got the Myriad, was it pharmaceutical labs, whatever, Myriad. They're coming out, genetics and let's see, it looks like Myriad Genetics and the University of Utah Research Foundation. So you got the University of Utah on the other side too?
Well, the actual researchers actually came from the University of Utah. They started there, and actually from my, it's my understanding that they actually segregated the gene mutation at the university, and then they privatized it.
Oh, that sounds like a lot of tax money got used to screw us. That's it. That's what I'm seeing, man. Oh, Janae, I am so appreciative of you doing this, and I'm glad you spent time with us. BeyondTheBoobyTrap.com, B-O-O-B-I-E, BeyondTheBoobyTrap.com. Is there another website you want to give out? People get information on this?
Sure, sure. They can go to my book site, which is OffTheRackBooks.com.
OffTheRackBooks.com. Yeah, I'm so glad you did this. Please stay in touch with us when there's development in this case, would you please?
I sure will.
Yeah, you got my producer's email and phone number and stuff. Make sure we're kept apprised of this, because I definitely want to follow this. Thank you so much. You bet. I'm so glad that we got to do this. This is so important. We'll be right back here with the economy in just a little bit.